in a place where they usually dominate, in beautiful city of brotherly love, the Sharks get none as they begin their 5-game road trip. The Sharks lose by a score of 3-2. Let's talk about it right now here on Teal Town After Dark. Good evening, everyone. It is March 12th, 2024. The San Jose Sharks lose 3-2 to the Philadelphia Flyers, and we welcome you to this edition of Teal Town After Dark, your live interactive Sharks postgame. We do this after every game, so if you want to be part of the show, here's how you do it. Chat with us and fellow hockey fans all over the world and in Sharks territory on the YouTube page or the app. And of course, there we go. Follow us on the social. And find everything at TealTownUSA.com. And if you want to support the pod, do so at TealTownUSA on Venmo. Well, yeah, don't worry. It's technical difficulties again. Joined by Mark Eisenberg. What's up, bud?
Not much. Doing well. Enjoying the fact that this was an early East Coast time match.
And to start a 5-game road trip for the Sharks against teams that are winnable for them.
I mean, the Flyers are up in the standings, but you know, I feel like they're kind of a surprise this year, being that high up in the standings. So definitely a game that I thought was winnable for the Sharks. But yeah, we'll see what this post-deadline team is made of on the road trip.
Yep. And it's going to be a critical one because, one, my mic's not working properly, and two, is it going to go now? Nope, it's not going now. That's terrific. Love these changes. Ecamm, you're freaking wonderful. I can't wait to hear from AJ later. All right, we're just going to pipe through this and apologize for the audio and get that fixed up as soon as possible. First period, I thought they played a good game. Bob, you literally just said that. I get that. I thought they played well, even though the Flyers got on the board first.
Joel Farabee.
Farabee with the breakaway goal. That one was a tough one to take because he literally split the defense and saw it coming.
Yeah, well, that pass from Frost was unreal. I mean, that was reminiscent of the kind of famous Erik Karlsson pass from the playoffs with the Senators, but basically a nice little sauce pass between the entire team and every single person on the ice, and then right to Farabee's stick, and he goes in alone and, you know, just tucks it away. Nice goal.
For Farabee, it's his 19th of the season. That made it 1-0 just 3.5 minutes in. Zetterlin did have a holding call a minute in. Smith and Lawton would go yada after Smith would do a snow shower on Ersson. But then Philly got into a little bit of penalty trouble, and it eventually led to Filip Zunina getting his career-high 11th goal of the season.
Yeah, and how good is that Sharks power play right now, right? They're on a bit of a run, first with the Bordalo goals. Now this game they had some power play goals. Who would have thought that this power play, all it needed was to remove all of its stars and then actually still find a way to score goals? It's looking pretty good. And not only just scoring, too. They're generating chances.
Yeah, and it made it 1-1 after one on that play. And Cunning with a nice feed over to it.
To Zadina? Yeah, so are you able to hear me? I don't know if you could hear me before, but yeah, no. The power play has just been firing on all cylinders.
Oh,
it's been
looking
good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been really nice and everything to set up and feeding it over. We made it 1-1 after one. And again, the second period, and Krona, let's talk about him. 39 saves in the loss, but he hung in there early on. I mean, the Sharks got outshot,
41-29 was the final. 41 shots.
That's just That's ridiculous. Just like my Ecamm right now, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Krona had a really good game. None of the gold I'd put on him. He was making all the stops, and you know, they're firing at him pretty much throughout the game instantly. It wasn't really just like here and there with a lot of pressure. It was throughout the game. He was facing shots, and he was doing a good job stopping them.
Yes, AJ. I know, AJ. Wrong mic, active, Eric. Yes, I know. Unfortunately, Ecamm's not letting the Scarlet go through for some bleeping reason. We shall fire on from here because, you know, only these issues happen with me, right, AJ? But you definitely would go. You have Bortolo taking a hooking call. A lot of penalties in this one, which, you know, typical Philly does crazy things like that. But you know, the Sharks, we call for a hella dudes on the frozen pond. That's for you, Shalana Goldman. And it feeds to Frost from Konechny and York to make it 2-1 Philly. And then Philly would get two more penalties, kind of setting up a 5-on-3. Eventually leads to Zadina getting a second of the game with a nice pass. Again, this is not a recording from Cunning.
Yeah, so the Frost goal, first of all, backdoor. Not much Krona could do on that. I mean, similar again, then when the goal that happens later on in the game as well. And Zadina, yeah, he's doing what we kind of hoped he would do earlier in the season. He's going through a bit of a run now. He's up to his 12th of the season, so that's record high for him. But that depth scoring, it's coming in handy, and he's also
Right.
looking good on the power play. So. And Costin gets his gets another assist as well.
His first as a shark,
Yep.
his first point as a shark to make it 2-2. You know, they're hanging in there with the Philly, who's been, you know, one, they don't have Tortorella in the lineup. They're missing like three key defensemen with Seeler, Drysdale, and Ristolainen out, and you know, just is not been. Hasn't exactly been the best in the world, but granted, they are hanging on to that third metro spot in the East. Third period, Flyers would get a nice goal. It's kind of similar to what the Sharks ended up having for both of their goals, where they catch the whole team puck watching on one end of the ice. Tippett comes in the back end to give them the game winner goal.
Yeah, it's another great pass on that goal from Konechny, right across the crease and straight onto Tippett's stick. And you could see even the way he was celebrating, he knew it was all Konechny who kind of created that play.
Right.
So another easy goal for them to score. Not much Cronin could do about that.
No. Oh, but again, Krona had a fantastic night. 30. Last check, it was 39 saves. You said they took off one shot, so they finished up at 41. So I guess we're giving them 38 saves on the night. Yeah, 38 of 41
Yep.
now. So for 927 save percentage. Thank you, NHL.com, for changing it at the last minute, just like everything else on this evening. Oh, yay, great, wonderful. Get that updated here. So the Sharks, the max points that they can get now is 75, which is currently what's held by the Vegas Golden Knights. They have more wins, obviously, so this puts a wrap on the Sharks' chances at a playoff spot. I know all of you were clinging on to that so much.
Yeah, so now we can finally focus on the draft lottery, right? We've only been
That's
paying attention to the playoffs to this date.
right. You know, it's, you know, 39 points with a 18 left, 36, that's 75. Vegas, you know, currently holds that last spot at 75, and they have 34 wins. So, to me, they're toast. Blackhawks lead 3-2. That is a wonderful thing. Wonderful, wonderful
Good
thing.
news, good news.
Yes, keep it going, Chicago. Keep it going. You know what you need to do. You know what you need to do. So, Sharks still have that one game in hand. They'll probably get to two after the Chicago game goes final on this one. But overall, what did you think of on the night? You know, of course it was built up with Bortolo and Eklund and a bunch of potential in there with the kids kind of giving promise on Saturday night in that win against Ottawa.
Yeah, I thought this was a good game. I mean, any game that has 70 shots on goal, you got it. It's an entertaining game, right?
Right.
Play was going both ways. And then, Zadina getting a couple goals. I'm kind of rooting for him down the stretch. I'd love to see him get up into the upper teens by the end of the season. And then got a good look at Klim Kostin, who I thought played pretty well. I liked some of his movement. I liked his possession with the puck. And he made some really nice passes, especially on the goal that they scored. So overall, I thought it was an enjoyable game. I'm not upset about the result, obviously, because team tank. But, I thought this is kind of exactly what I want down the stretch. Entertaining hockey, close games, but ultimately falling behind the Blackhawks.
Please make it happen.
Exactly. We need that extra 12%, right?
Yeah, so the Sharks lose 3-2. Again, as I'm saying here, you know, 18 wins. If they were to go on a run, win 18 in a row, that will get them to where Vegas is at right now with 34 wins. That's practically not possible. So for the fifth straight year, the Sharks are eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs. Just a tough pill to swallow, you know. Aaron Jack saying they'd be untankable if not for Bedard. among other things, of course.
Yeah, if he didn't get injured, I wonder where they'd be in comparison with the Sharks. You know, he did miss, what was it, I think 4, 5, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So if he didn't miss all of that time, which I think really only amounted to like 8, 9, or 10 games like that, because it kind of also fell over the break. But even so, we think maybe they get a couple more wins out of that, and they're a few points ahead of the Sharks right now instead of being pretty much neck and neck.
And you would... I don't know. Chicago is pretty bad, but at the same time, it's like, let's put it this way. March 17th against Chicago should be quite, quite interesting. So.
Yeah, that could go a long way in determining the final standings. Because I don't think we really have a chance of catching anyone else at this point, because there's like, what, a 10 or 12 point gap between us and the Ducks.
Yeah.
So I think we're pretty safe with just the top two. 1 and 2, obviously not including the lottery, but yeah, it's just us and Chicago rest of the way, which is a lot different than last year when we were pretty much fighting with 4 or 5 teams for that bottom spot.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a 1-2 between Chicago and San Jose. Anaheim has played well. I mean, they're blown away with 23 wins, 49 points. Arizona, who was hanging into a playoff spot but then just fell apart since January, gets there. But, it's an interesting stretch. And Vegas being in the last playoff spot just surprises me. But they've dealt with so many injuries.
Yep. And now aren't they just taking advantage of all of that heading into the playoffs? They do.
Which they do. And, you know...
Power to him, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you do things, and if it's legal, it's legal. You know, it just sucks all the way around for that one. So that closes the book on this game. But you know, of course, as we see the future coming in, we see Eklund, been here all year. Bortolo, you know. And first time he hasn't scored since he's been recalled up from the Barracuda. How dare he? Shame on him. But there have been some developments lately with the prospects, and not the least of which I know myself and Jules were excited for Quentin Musty's 6-point night the other night for Sudbury. What else you got, Mark?
Edstrom, he got a goal and an assist the game after the Sharks traded for him. So a nice little Sharks bump there. We got the Hockey East playoffs coming up, so it's a good time to start watching that. Those are where the games really matter for Will Smith. So I personally won't be cheering for BC, because as a UMass person, I hate BC, but I want Will Smith to do very well. So I look forward to that. And also, it's a perfect opportunity to get a good view on Macklin Celebrini with BU. And pretty sure both of those teams will be in probably the semifinal, if not the final, against each other. So there's just a clear gap in Hockey East this year between those two teams and the rest of the field.
So what you're saying is you want Celebrini and Will Smith to have hat tricks, but UMass to steal the championship. I get it. I totally get it.
It's unlikely. UMass is more middle of the pack this year, but yes, that would be ideal. But no, I Will Smith's a big game player. So if anything we learn from the World Junior Championship, I expect him to have a really good Hockey East tournament and then NCAA tournament right after.
It's going to be something special to see what they do in the the NCAA. Was it Frozen Four? Who's going to come out there? I mean, nice to see that all develop into a nice, as you said, shark bump. Indeed for that one. So it's something else to get excited for. You got all these prospects coming soon. Haltonen, Havlid, Cagnoni, not the least of which Gushin in the CUDA right now. I mean, I know it's kind of wishful thinking and it's out there, but I would love to see a lot of these kids get to at least to the Barracuda soon, if not the Sharks in a relatively near future, to get this I'm frazzled. The damn mic. just to get this rebuild accelerated a little bit, because I think there's a lot of talent in there that can come in and hopefully change the luck of this team around big time. But it also starts with some ping pong balls in May. So
yeah, I mean, I feel like we've mentioned it or and kind of hoped for it a lot this year, but I would love to see Gushin get some more games in before the end of the season.
Absolutely.
You know, he's had a fantastic season. Just give him, I don't know, 5-10 games left. There's no reason we can't give him some minutes in there. I want to see what he has at the NHL level, because what I've seen so far from him, I've really liked. So being one of our, I'd say, higher ceiling prospects, I that would be the one ask I have for the rest of the season. Get the guy some games.
Get him some love, get some games in, because he had what, maybe a couple of games with the Sharks last year. I remember he scored his first NHL goal against that Arizona game where, you know, Noah Gregor went off and ruined our Bedard chances, but you know, I know. I'm not going to let that go yet. Thanks.
I blame it more on the Blackhawks.
Yeah, well.
We would have had that third spot, which they're the ones who won the lottery, if not for, I think it was Taze. I think he's the one who failed on their OT winner that they should have had. But, yeah, no, Gushin, he had the two games earlier this year where he got an assist. So three points in four NHL games so far. Can't complain about that. And now he's all pretty much a point per game player in the AHL. I think he's ready. I think he's ready to get a shot, a real shot at least.
Absolutely. The Grease saying, I have high hopes for Kasper Haltonen. He's been playing well. He's like a top 25 scorer in the OHL with the London Knights. Of course, we sent love to Quentin Musty earlier on that one. Jules, thank you for the update. 4-2 Hawks. That's nice to see.
Good stuff.
As Jerk would say, you love to see it. You know, so that's nice all around for the Sharks so far. So it looks like they'll be eliminated from Stanley Cup playoff play and get to 32 as the Hawks are up 4-2 after two against the Anaheim Ducks with Ryan Donato, former Shark, helping out with that one. That's nice.
Appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you very indeed. Much.
And Bedard getting his 20th of the season in that one. So what's next for the Sharks? Well, they run into Erik Karlsson and the Pittsburgh Penguins. And so I ask you this question, Mark. It was a meme in our Discord server earlier this past weekend. What do you do? Do you lose to the Penguins to get first overall? Or do you beat the Penguins to make that pick better?
So here's the thing. You absolutely lose to the Penguins, because right now the Penguins pick would actually stick with them. It's top 10. So what we want is the Penguins to win a few games so it drops to that 11 to 12 range, because they have the option of pushing that to 20-25, right? So right now, we need the Sharks to lose on Thursday. This would propel the Penguins up into, I think, about the 11th spot. I mean, they do have a few games on hand with the teams that are they're right behind. So Penguins win, they go up to 11. Sharks have the best pick they can possibly get from the Penguins this year. And then also the Sharks get closer to that number one overall. I know there's been a lot of chatter recently about whether the Penguins would decide to still give the Sharks the pick if it was in the 8 or 9 or 10 range. I have mixed feelings on that because, A, I think it actually would possibly be the better decision because they're probably going to be a worse team next year. But I don't think there's a world where they admit to the fans that they think they're going to be a worse team next year and then take the pick, and then push the pick off, saying, well, we don't want it to be like a lottery or a number one or a number two. So realistically, I think I kind of hope the Penguins just fall to that 11, 12 spot because there's some players I really like in this year's crop that would fall in that spot. And then I'm kind of worried about a team with Crosby and Carlson having some sort of bounce back and then making the playoffs maybe next year. And then we have a pick in like the late teens, you know?
Yeah. Or worse, they go all the way somehow, win one more cup for Crosby, Malkin, and company, and then that pick becomes 32 after they lose to the Vegas Golden Knights, where that pick will be 31, because that's how good the Sharks' luck is. Just like mine, operating this software program for this show. Yes, I know. Oh, fun. So with that, I think because of all the technical glitches and the upcoming moan and groan session, we will leave it there. So in case you missed anything or you want to watch this again, check us out on TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher. Of course, you can hear us wherever the audio is supreme, whether it's Apple or Google or YouTube, you name it, you love it, among all over the place. If there's one we're missing, let us know. Of course, if you're watching us on the YouTube, please share a comment on tonight's game. Leave a like on the way out. Really does help us out big time. Of course, notification bell on so that way you know when we have a breaking news story like the hurdle game. You'll be able to be notified when we go on the air. So Kevin Lacey saying it'd be the worst if the Penguins give their first to the Sharks this season and then the next year the Penguins win the lottery. Kevin, hashtag that's so Sharks. Ain't that the truth? So, Mark, your final thoughts on this evening?
Good evening overall. Enjoyed the game. Productive for all of the Sharks' goals at the moment and had a good night from a few of the players. So I consider it a win.
Yeah, I think they played hard, which is a good one. I think what Ian said earlier in the season, as long as we're entertained and lose, it's probably the best bet ever. So we will be back with you following Sharks and Penguins. That's a 4 p.m. start on Thursday. Ian and Jules will be on that one. I will probably be fired by then. I'm kidding. Maybe not. But until then, thanks for watching. And until next time, keep it real. Keep it teal. Have a good night. Fuck.